Hello, and welcome to the Movie Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll have a spoiler-filled discussion about a movie we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to do something a little bit different. We've done a number of episodes on the Marvel Cinematic movies.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a number of episodes on the Marvel Cinematic Universe television shows and Netflix shows.
That was a mouthful.
Yes, it was. So what we're going to do is cover a couple of things. And these will probably be short segments, but there'll be probably six of them. We're going to cover the Marvel one-shots and the Slingshot series they did for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This feels like the opposite end of the spectrum from the Netflix shows.
Yes, way shorter.
Just saying.
In comics, they used to have the concept of, we'll publish a title and we'll do it every month. And then it got to where, you know what, we've got a short story. We're going to do a three-issue miniseries. It's going to start with one, it's going to go to number two, and it's going to end with number three, and we mean it to end. Going forward, it's a three-part story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they actually had to spell that out, I believe, in the letters page in Superman Presents the Krypton Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the first miniseries, one of three. But then somewhere along the lines, and I don't really know what was the first one, there came the concept of the one-shot. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do a single issue. Here it is. That's it. Boom. We're done.
Okay.
Sometimes it's to visit a character we haven't seen for a while. Maybe it's a test bed of, is it worth giving them a new series or something? Or in this day and age, it's because it's a Wednesday and they're releasing new comics. They've gotten to where the one-shot's overused in the comic side a lot. And sometimes it was meant to be an ongoing series, but it was only a one-shot because that's all they did. Marvel decided to use the title of Marvel One-Shot on a lot of the DVD Blu-rays they did. And basically do a 5, 10, 15 minute short just to give a little extra something on those movies.
Okay.
And they did this early on, starting, I think, with Thor, which was maybe the third or fourth movie in the bunch. And they did five of them, and then it got to where the movies were starting to come out a bit faster. It was a little hard to do this. Maybe they didn't have the budget, whatever. They kind of fell by the wayside, which I think is a shame because it's... There's some stories that maybe you don't need a two-hour movie for, you can do in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. So with that, we're going to go through the one-shots in the order they were done. After that, we'll go visit the web series of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot, which had six parts, but all said and done, it's probably, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes tops.
Okay.
So with that, let's get going. So the first of the Marvel one-shots was on Thor on the DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. It's The Consultant.
Because there's a nice specific title.
Well, it's S.H.I.E.L.D. They use code words.
That's true.
And basically, it is Phil Coulson at a diner with Jasper Sitwell, and they're talking about the Avengers Initiative, and this is before the Avengers has come out. And apparently, the World Security Council or whatever was in charge saying, we want the Abomination, not the Hulk.
Because the Abomination is such a good pick.
Yes. And of course, these two people are thinking, that's nuts, let's not do this. How can we essentially sabotage that? And they realize that, well, they could have a patsy that just seems inept, whatever. They really need to send somebody to Thunderbolt Ross that will just annoy the hell out of him. So they send the Consultant. At this point, it cuts to the end credit scene from, or the pre-credit scene, I guess, from Hulk, Incredible Hulk, where Tony Stark walks into the bar, talks to Thunderbolt Ross. That plays out, cut. We're now back at the same diner. It's clearly a different day. Same two agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sitting down and talking. How'd it go? Oh, it worked great.
Yeah.
And really, that's about all there is to it.
Yeah.
Always fun to see Phil Coulson, I think.
Yes.
Love the character, love the actor. Jasper, yeah, could go either way. Having the kind of tag scene from Incredible Hulk used here felt like repurposing.
Yes.
So I wasn't too crazy about that. Clearly, this was something, though, that they could do on pretty much a shoestring budget.
True. To me, it didn't feel like much. I mean, I've always heard people say, oh, you have to see the one shots. They're amazing.
This one was not.
Thank you. I feel better.
It was entertaining. It was humorous, but it felt indulgent on the creator's behalf.
Definitely. Although I will say, as someone who's watched almost all the movies, I guess all the movies, all the seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was fun seeing Coulson 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So in terms of watching it now, in that respect, yeah, it was kind of fun.
Well, and to put things into perspective, we're watching these after having watched all the movies up through and including Avengers Infinity War, have not seen Ant-Man and Wasp, although it's out. It's going to be almost another year before we get Captain Marvel or the next Avenger film.
Yeah.
And we have not watched second season of Jessica Jones or Luke Cage, but all of the other movies and stuff we've watched. We still need to record on the first two Thor movies.
Yeah.
But we just watched Hulk, Incredible Hulk, not long ago. So that scene was fresh in my mind. And they're like, yeah, that's exactly what they used.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think if they had found a different way to tell this story, I don't know. I mean, I think they could have had a good scene with these two just having a verbal back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of show Coulson being Coulson.
Yes.
This kind of did, but not in, wow, this is an amazing character moment.
Yeah.
So, move on to the next one.
Yes, please.
So, the second Marvel one-shot was on Captain America, the First Avenger. And it was, a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer. And, basically, we know that Coulson had to drive to get there. And on the way, he had to get gas. This follows the good logic so far.
Yes, it does.
He's getting gas. He goes in. He's hungry. He's shopping in the little convenience store there.
He's indecisive.
He's going for donuts. Kind of surprised me with him, but okay. I thought he'd go for the powdered donuts versus the chocolate donuts, but maybe I'm projecting. Not that I eat donuts, but back decades ago when I did, that was my preference. Little did I know. But two people come in, rob the place, and he gets actually a fairly good action sequence. Short though it may be.
Try to rob the place.
They try to rob the place. They fail miserably.
Yes, thanks to Coulson. Would have if he hadn't
been there.
That's right.
We get a little bit of his kind of signature, you know, style.
We get his style. We get his thinking. We get his humor.
Yes. And I'd like to know if Clark Gregg enjoyed doing that one. Because, again, he got to do a bit of a fight scene.
Yeah.
And even in S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the other stuff, he hasn't. This was one of the more action-packed things he's done.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. It was all new original content. The car was all wrong, of course. It's not Lola, but apparently he didn't get that till later. And this is another one where in The Consultant, which was released on Thor, it was referencing both Iron Man and Hulk, the previous two ones. This was on Captain America, and it references back to Thor, which was the previous one.
Mm-hmm. This one makes me understand why people said, you gotta check out the one-shots.
They're fun. Would have been nice if it had a little more meat on the bone. It was short.
Yeah. It was 3 minutes before credits.
Yeah, something like that. It was, yeah. These are not particularly lengthy things.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking they were a bit longer than they were, though. Move on to the next one.
Yes, please.
So the third Marvel one-shot was Item 47. Now, this was on the Avengers Blu-ray or DVD, and it also references the Avengers one. This mm-hmm. taking place a week or two after, where two people have apparently found a Chitauri gun, gotten it back working, and decided to go play Bonnie and Clyde and rob banks.
Because what else would you do with something like that?
Exactly. We had Jasper Sitwell again. We had another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. It was
Blake, maybe?
Yeah, Blake.
Titus Welliver?
Yeah, who showed up later in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I believe this is one of the things that helped lead to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series getting greenlit.
Interesting.
Because this was basically showing what a little bit of what S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing.
In some respects, it totally makes sense. It helped get the series in terms of they go out, they find two people committing crimes and doing not so great stuff. But hey, you know what? You got skills S.H.I.E.L.D. could use.
Keep in mind, the guy who hired them.
Yeah.
sit well. I mean, we know what happens with him later.
I did tell you at one point while it was playing, it looks like they might as well just kill this character because he's got his back to the door.
Yes, there were a few aspects like that. This was about 12 minutes. It was definitely a bigger production than the other ones.
Bigger production and more of a story. The others were more of a scene.
This one, according to the Wikipedia page, took a good couple of days for them to film. I think it said 4 days or something like that, maybe.
Makes sense because you had multiple filming locations.
Exactly. Whereas the first one, the consultant, that was literally, you know, set the camera down pretty much and you're done.
Yeah.
A little more than that. They had multiple camera angles, but just the one scene. And then with the funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer, one location, but still multiple shots within. That could have been a day or so to film easily.
Yeah.
But this was a lot more involved. And it was fun. It made sense.
Yeah.
It would have been fun to see these characters come back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have not seen the sixth season because it hasn't aired yet. But so far, they have not come back. But this was a nice kind of bonus item to have put on the Avengers release.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're getting better as they go. But
in terms of amount of story and stuff, yeah. But I enjoyed if anything happened on the way of Thor's hammer more.
I'll go with that. I think it part of it because it focused on Coulson.
Because it had the wit, it had the humor, it had the action. By comparison, this one fell a little flat for me.
Did this fall flat, though, because most of these characters are essentially disconnected from everything else in the universe?
A little bit of that, and a little bit of there was no real comic relief.
Fair enough.
I think the one or two things that were meant to be comic relief fell kind of flat for me.
That's fair. It was more involved, but it was not necessarily more rewarding.
Yeah.
Then, okay, I'll go with that. Again, I'm liking that they're doing these. It's just a question of how much of these are, so far I would say all of them have been icing on the cake, not wow, this really added something significant.
Yeah, exactly.
Shall we see how the next one does?
Yes, please.
So the fourth one-shot was Agent Carter, and it was on the Iron Man 3 release. And it is essentially what I think led the way for the Agent Carter two-season series.
Makes sense.
It starts, this short starts with footage from Captain America, the First Avenger, resetting the scene of, okay, Cap sacrificed himself, she's lost him, now what? Then jumps a year later. It is in line with, conceptually, the Agent Carter series they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to rewatch kind of the beginning and end of that series to know, does it really line up continuity-wise or not?
Well, it felt like the same office location
yes.
as the first season, but it was a little disorienting given how it ended as to where it is with that.
Well, I think clearly the end of this short is at the end of, after the end of the series they did, but I don't think the agent she worked for was ever in the TV series.
Oh, that's interesting.
Flynn.
I was thinking, not to spoil the show, but I was thinking the office she worked in season one, like, blew up or something. I'd have to rewatch it.
That's a good question. I'm not sure how the two line up, because they don't feel kind of like in lockstep.
Yeah. To me, this felt like a day in the life of.
It felt like, and I'm skimming through as we're talking the Wikipedia page for the TV show to see if it ties in. Because, I mean, obviously they're covering the same sort of ground.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that was kind of a demo reel for this is what we want to do.
Yes.
And not necessarily in again, lockstep. The short's the basis for the series. Think of the short as sort of the end of the series leading up to that moment. And it also says they all agreed that it was going to get harder and harder to keep that thing in continuity with the short the longer they did the series.
Mm.
And if you go with, because if this is a year later from the movie,
yeah,
it time-wise, it just doesn't quite work. But it's fine. It doesn't really matter. The fact that that short got this series made
yes.
made sense.
Well, it was a good day in the life of. It showed a lot of what was going on in the time period
yeah.
in terms of She had proven herself qualified to do the things out in the field, etc., but her male coworkers were not treating her as an equal for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. Gender certainly being top of the list, but the fact she was grieving being on the list also.
Yes. I think they could have reworked this a little to have better set the scene for the TV series.
Yes.
Not that they were necessarily aiming for getting that, but by setting it a year after and then ending with, you're going to head SHIELD, that made it a little awkward. We've seen the actress at a convention.
Hayley Atwell.
Hayley Atwell, thank you. After the series had ended, with her saying, there's still more story to be told.
Oh, yeah. She clearly loved the character and just all it gave her the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that was showing a very strong, confident, powerful woman who was coming up against the glass ceiling and all of those things, and yet was walking with that confidence. And kind of that, it didn't matter the obstacles and the barriers you challenged her with, she was going to face them.
I think it would be interesting if in another few years, they were to do another series, basically forging the SHIELD of the early days of SHIELD. And maybe do it where you do an arc, you jump a little forward, you do an arc, you jump a little forward kind of a thing. But I think to do it, you would need not only Hayley Atwell, but Dominic Cooper.
Yes.
Who's, I think, busy with the Preacher series.
Oh, interesting.
So, hence, waiting a few years.
Yeah.
But, certainly, I think this was fun. This was another thing where they had a clear storyline, multiple scenes, much more impressive action sequences in this.
They captured the character, they captured the tone, they captured the humor.
Yes.
It wasn't blatant laugh out loud, but things like learn to count.
Yes. This felt like a short movie.
Yes.
I mean, there's only so much you could do in the, 15 minutes or whatever it was. But they leveraged the time well. It was satisfying. They had enough time to get in, do the character, and then get out.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the others, it was almost over before it started.
Yeah.
So I would say, other than not necessarily dovetailing exactly with the series they later did, but they kind of worked themselves into a corner on that, this was probably the best of the bunch so far.
Yeah.
With the funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer being probably the next.
Yeah, I agree.
Move on to the final?
Yes, please.
So the fifth and final one of the one-shots was All Hail the King. That was on Thor the Dark World, and it is really referencing the Iron Man stuff.
Yes.
It's got Ben Kingsley reprising his role as Slatterly, who's pretending to be the Mandarin. We also have Sam Rockwell coming back as Justin Hammer. Mm-hmm. Rockwell did his stuff, apparently, according to the Wikipedia page, in like an hour of shooting. It's like, this seems like fun. I'm busy on other stuff. If we can do it here, wherever it was, I guess Toronto or whatever, he's in. It's like, well, damn. So that was well done. And this is another one where they've clearly spent some time doing a short little movie, you know?
Yes and no, because it's less of a beginning, middle, end. It's more of a what happened to this character after we last saw him, and it's another day in the life of.
It's more of an epilogue-ish sort of a thing, whereas Agent Carter was probably the best realized of what the one-shots could be.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I didn't think this was as good as the others in so much as I didn't really care for the characters as much.
I can see that.
But it also puts kind of the Mandarin back in play if they want to use him as a more serious version of the character.
Either that or even if they wanted to send SHIELD after him.
Yeah, however they want to use the character, they can basically distance themselves from what they did in the Iron Man movie. So I thought this was fun. I think the one-shots are interesting. The first two were fairly short. Still think Agent Carter was probably the highlight of the bunch.
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't continue with this because I think there was a lot they could do. But I think as they started doing more and more movies, finding the time, finding the budget, finding the availability, the actors got harder.
Yeah, I can see that.
But as the universe grew more and more, I think if they could have grabbed one or two of the key actors from different parts and just have them go do something.
Yeah.
It would have been fun. I mean, if they could have found a way to do, granted, it would have been hard with the Hulk, but have, you know, the lesser used characters, the ones that don't have their own movies to kind of spotlight in.
Yeah.
In some of these, I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Shall we watch the web series for Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot?
Yes, please.
So we've just watched the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot web series. It was 6 episodes, each of which were like 3 to 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, including credits, it totaled out at about 28 minutes.
Well, and there was opening credits, there was closing credits, there was, I think they would have done better just doing it as a one release kind of a thing versus in 6 installments. It was essentially a half episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. leading into, I guess, 4th season.
Mm-hmm.
Focused on Yo-Yo, but we saw most of the other people.
Yeah.
Coulson, Mac, Fitz, Simmons, Daisy,
May.
May. I'm trying to think if there are any major characters we didn't see. We saw Mace as well.
I was going to say, since he was in that season, yeah, we saw Mace.
I don't think it was particularly revelatory.
Well, it was intriguing in terms of that Slingshot tied more into the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe than I think most of that season or the next season. It referenced the Sokovia Accords, it referenced the Raft, it referenced Peggy Carter. There were lots of little name drops like that.
That's true. I would agree with that. I think there have been other times Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has referenced the bigger Marvel picture.
True.
But certainly for a half episode to get all that kind of in.
And I think that's why it was so noticeable to me.
Yeah. It was well done. It was the first installment was Joe Quesada's directorial debut.
Mm.
And he did fine. He did good. It was essentially half an episode and it didn't cover quite as much ground as I thought it would.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It felt like, and again, we watched this after watching 4th and 5th seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Part of it is there was a plot, but there was no subplot.
I was almost going to say there was more subplot than plot. The relationship between Yo-Yo and Mac, what's going on with Daisy, what's going on with Coulson, all that stuff. It just felt like they set some stuff up in the first one, or even the second, where she's signing the accord and whatnot. And I was expecting there to be ramifications at the end of where was she when.
For me, that was a lot of character moments. For me, the plot was very straightforward. She wants to deal with the person who killed her cousin.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. It was in a weird kind of almost middle ground there. You know what I mean?
You know, we had the character moment with Fitz and Simmons, which explained why there was the apartment hunting that got brought up in season 4.
I guess it felt like it was planting more seeds than harvesting.
And I think they felt that they were planting seeds that we were supposed to have gotten during season 4.
And we did, but in terms of this thing in and of itself.
Yeah, this was never, from my perspective, meant to be self-contained.
I mean, again, to your point, going after the person who killed her cousin, Yo-Yo did that, so that was contained.
Yeah, I mean, that plot, that's all they set out to achieve in that respect. But other than that, and actually until we looked it up and saw it all released on one day, I figured it had come out weekly with the first, like, 6 weeks of season 4.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, actually, and they released on the same day.
Yeah.
Making the multiple parts even more inexplicable, because out of the 3 to 6 minutes each one was, at least a minute or so was credits and stuff.
But I'm wondering if the 6 parts was what got them qualified as a series. They got awards for being a web series.
That's entirely possible. Yeah, I don't know. To me, calling it 6 episodes is a little bit of a stretch. I mean, they had multiple scenes in them, whatever, but no one of those episodes was the least bit satisfying.
They weren't as satisfying as the one-shots.
Yeah, and in some cases, they were of similar length.
Yeah. I mean, putting the whole thing together and dropping it is one thing. I would call it as satisfying as the one-shots.
Overall, yeah.
But I think, well, I enjoyed the Peggy Carter one-shot more.
That's fair. It was more focused.
Exactly. Yes.
This one, it felt like we were getting stuff that I would enjoy in a full episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Again, Fitz and Simmons talking about, you know, the living arrangements and stuff like that. Yet, for something that was as focused as this could have and should have been, or as limited in length as it was.
Yes.
It felt like that was indulgent on the writing part.
Yeah.
There was a number of things where it took a whole episode for her to essentially track down where this guy is that she's hunting. And then another one for, okay, she's been caught, she's still going and flying off.
Well, and May helped her fly off, but we never got an explanation of how May covered her going to Baltimore. And yet, apparently May didn't cover her going to Baltimore, but it would have been eons later that Daisy was helping her remove the GPS information from the watch's log, like yeah. 2 or 3 months later.
Yeah.
So
there's aspects of that that I think doesn't make sense. And it has some nice, I almost want to say color commentary or whatever, but it doesn't add anything pivotal or revelatory about the characters, the plot, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's nice additional material. It's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But it's not like, if there are some shows that you could take certain episodes of and say, or certain parts of episodes and say, this is essential to understanding what happens.
Yes.
The rest is just, yeah, they go and they do what they do. In other words, it's, I'm trying to think what would be a good example. There's like in a police procedural or whatever, you will have certain things that matter to the character or the overall plot. Others that are just the crime of the day that they're solving.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this felt more like that tone style, I don't want to say filler, but fleshing out almost.
It felt a lot more like character moments.
Yeah. And they were good character moments.
There was a different guest character or two per episode.
Per installment or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because I don't like calling them an episode when they're that short. But, you know, May had her moments in the one she was featured in. Fitz and Simmons had their moments. And really, I felt Fitz and Simmons got the short end of the stick.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it, their part. It was written like a comic book series.
Mm.
The 6 parts add up to something, but even then, there's usually something else after.
That's fine.
To pay it off. Each individual issue, you get some stuff, but it feels a little light.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they did it. They did it clearly on the sets with the crew and cast and whatnot. So it felt like they could have sprinkled this throughout the season or what have you.
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily would have worked because you're like, it would have been a subplot that played out too slowly.
Yes.
I'm glad we watched it, but I don't feel like I really missed anything not having seen it before now.
Yeah, it certainly didn't make me go, oh, now I understand something about season 4. It didn't affect or change my understanding at all.
Exactly. And I would say more or less that holds true for the one-shots. They're entertaining, some better than others. This is if you want the complete Marvel Cinematic Universe experience. It's not something that I think you should feel particularly left out if you just haven't gotten around to watching them.
Yeah, I agree.
So anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.